Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. My good co-host today is John Shipman. Welcome
good
aboard,
morning,
sir.
Mark. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate you coming in. Good Sunbury resident. I'm not going to read your resume. It is lengthy, full of community service and volunteerism. And have you ever gotten a stipend for any of the good civic deeds that you've done?
No.
Not really. Yeah, Sunbury Council doesn't get a stipend, right?
Oh, Council gets paid.
Yeah. Okay, back in the day. Okay, well, you had, what, a 10-year stint on council?
Yeah, about 10 years.
Okay, so, yeah, treasurer's super with numbers, which really helped the city of Sunbury out for a time. So we appreciate you coming on the show today. But good common sense conservatism, right?
You bet.
Does that describe it? All right, well, I appreciate that. You put me in my place on more than one occasion.
Not
so
really.
Today's another opportunity. So we want to talk about the Electoral College again a little bit. So I'm trying to make sure that L.A. County controls the whole nation. So we'll see if you're interested in that or not. We do have guests. We're going to introduce our panel of guests in one quick second here. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more about them at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line will be open shortly, but not right at the moment. When the time comes, call us at 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome throughout our show anytime to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Well, in the studio, we have spoken to on a number of occasions. Has this, been about a 10-year effort or so?
Yes, it has.
Well, Lanier Allum is back. She's executive director now of the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project, and she has put her heart and soul and, maybe even some blood, sweat, and tears into this this idea of getting a community college, and she'll elaborate on it, but Sunbury doesn't have a community college. There is a campus of Luzerne County, Lackawanna College, in Sunbury, and that's a great school, and for the right people, that might be the right place to go. But a community college is, as we're going to hear, is everyone's school. It's accessible to people, affordable, and is a great way for this part of the region to advance. So we're going to be talking about that community college. And you brought Sis with you. That is the least of her accolades. She is a Lieutenant Colonel, Malia Pearson. She's in the U.S. Army Reserves, was in the U.S. Army. How much U.S. Army service do you have? About 40 years or so?
Right around the 34-year mark.
34-year mark. Well, super. Well, get one thing out of the way early on. Thank you for your service. We very much appreciate that. But you got some of your education at community colleges, went on to a great U.S. Army career, and also went on to just some life-changing opportunities that I think you can share with our audience. So we're going to ask you to talk about your story a little bit. So we appreciate you coming on board. Well, let's start with Lanier. What is the status of getting a good community college going around here?
Well, the status is we continue to push forward the concept of a regional community college that would encompass multi-counties, and that because this region of Pennsylvania, including a total of 10 counties, does not have access to a comprehensive independent community college such as we see in Luzerne County or in Harrisburg, we want to see this established in our area to meet the needs and the demand of workforce in our area. And so we continue to build momentum for that project and for that concept.
All right, now, when we're talking community college, we are talking about maybe how somebody might have visioned WAC years ago, or maybe if you have a vision of Harrisburg Area Community College, or you have great local classes, college-level courses, but you have financial buy-in from the counties that support this and are served by it.
Precisely. And that's according to the Pennsylvania law. There must be a local sponsor, and that could be school districts or counties. Counties are much more stable sponsors, and so we would appeal to counties, local, four of them, Montour, Northumberland, Snyder, Union, but we would also look to adjacent counties that also do not have access to a regional community college. And so ultimately, to run a small rural community college such as what we would have in this area would be approximately $1.2 million in sponsorship. And so that would be our appeal to our county commissioners. And for every dollar of sponsorship, immediate return is $3. And that just opens a tremendous opportunity for grant money, for philanthropic giving. To give an idea, in Luzerne County, I believe their sponsorship is at $5 million for Luzerne County Community College, and their college budget, operating budget, is $83 million. So that kind of gives you an idea of what kind of a return you would get from sponsoring a community college.
And what is the need? Somebody may say, well, heck, we got Luzerne. If you want to drive a bit, you got Lackawanna. And of course, then you got, if you got a lot of money, you got Bucknell and SU around here.
So it's a community college is for your community. It is specifically designed for the culture, the region in which it serves. And it's retained students in the area. It retains money in the area. It doesn't stream out. It is governed by individuals who really have a local vision and are invested in the local area and want to see it grow and expand and succeed. So those are some of the main reasons why community college is so individualized to the community in which it serves.
And we need one.
Mark, one of the things as a former chairman of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, one of the things I heard consistently from employers in the area is that they don't have work-ready pool of candidates coming out of K-12. Many cases they have to train people maybe for months to get them up to speed to be an able employee. One of the things that a community college does is partner with local employers to provide basic skills training and specific skills training. For instance, if we have a strong wood industry in our area, we can, at a community college, train people how to run woodworking machines, how to, how to finish wood and so forth, so that when they come out of a two-year course at that college, they would be able to go to work for one of the wood processing companies in our area and understand the skills. Maybe not have perfected them, but at least have the basic skills to go to work for those people. And the employer now has a pool. And so we have wood processing, we have food processing, we have health industries. We could give those employers people who were trained to go to work.
So in a state where we keep saying workforce development means something around here, I don't know what we're really doing about it, but this could be an important element in workforce development.
Precisely. The Central Pennsylvania Workforce Development Corporation puts out their high priority occupations. Right now, there are 2,000 annual openings for high priority occupations in the Central Pennsylvania Workforce Development counties. There are 9 counties. The only entity that can manage the level of demand for that number of openings is a regional community college that is completely focused on meeting the employer demand and preparing students for the work. And then I would just point out that about a month ago, the U.S. Department of Labor wrote an article calling on the nation's community colleges, and there are 1,100 of them, to generate the nation's workforce. There are over 5 million job openings across the U.S., and trying to meet that demand, placing that level of responsibility on the community colleges, shows us that without one, we're at a severe disadvantage.
So when we go to maybe attracting a new industry, we could offer to them, well, we have this community college that's going to specialize in making widgets. We can tailor a class. We can start a widget class right now. It's going to take you years to spool up. So in the meantime, we'll get a group of available workers ready?
Precisely.
Okay, so that kind of thing. All right, well, we're going to keep talking about this. I want to take a quick break now, and then when we come back, Lieutenant Colonel Malia Pearson is here. Malia is going to tell us about her experience, which has got community colleges written all over, right? Community colleges can help, right?
Absolutely.
All right, well, perfect. We're going to get more, a lot more than that one word coming up. Hold your calls for the moment while we get some of the perfunctory questions that I have in my head out of the way, and then we'll open up the phones, we'll have this discussion, and we'll let everybody weigh in on this these important topics. We'll be right back on WDKOK's On the Mark.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
And welcome back to WKOK's live telephone talk show. Lanier Alam is here. Dr. Lanier Alam, Executive Director, Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project, and Lieutenant Colonel Malia Pearson. Malia, community colleges make a big difference. We've established that. Give us, sort of walk us through, I guess we're going to start in your childhood. Tell us a little bit about your story and your life, and help us underscore how a community college can really help out.
Okay, well, when I started out or left high school, my grades were not good enough to get into the best colleges. So I was looking for something quick and easy and not expensive. And the community college was absolutely perfect for me. I did a few years within community college. However, I really wasn't ready for school. So after about 4 years of just trying to get my undergrads, I joined the Army. And that's when my Army career started. But just because I had all of that college, I actually started out as a higher pay grade in the Army. So instead of coming in as a E1 private, I was an E3 private first class. Also gave me some leadership experience. So it was very helpful in that. And then after my first 3 years in the Army, I did my time, and then I got out and I attended another community college, actually in Philadelphia. And there I began my career. I was starting my career in the medical field. I was going to be a nurse. And so many of the courses that I had taken originally, which I didn't really know what I was going to do, I thought I was going to do physical education, many of those actually did transfer then over to the nursing program, pre-nursing program in Philadelphia Community College. And life just happens. I was pregnant. I was a single, mother, and it just absolutely worked best for me there. Then I moved to Arizona with my mother, and there I ended up going to another community college, actually two more community colleges.
But each time you're studying a different speciality that really targets these particular colleges and helping you advance your career.
Absolutely, absolutely. So they're all targeted towards, well, the first one was physical education. The second determination was nursing. And then I guess one of the things that really helped with community college was you could take night school. A lot of the Arizona State University is where I was living, didn't have a night program. And, of course, most community colleges do. So a lot of my studies were in the evening. And it worked perfect. I was a single mother. I also had a job. And I was attending night colleges or night classes. So that's how that worked for me.
And a career choice that you've had over time?
So I ended up in a third career choice simply because I became an officer in the military, in the Guard, and I had to have a degree in order to make captain. So I ended up finishing up in general management. So my actual degree is in management. I worked in the healthcare industry, though, for over 20 years, and I am currently now in the Corps of Engineers as a program manager.
All right, very well. And I'll tell you what, you bring a story, and we're glossing over some of the highlights and maybe some of the lowlights, but really community colleges help glue this story together and helps her inch forward at every turn, Lenore.
Every turn. And I would just say that I think my sister's story is resonating with many women who find themselves single mothers, trying to hold a job, trying to advance. And a community college does definitely meet that need. And I would say that single parent homes where finances are tight, the community college is definitely the best way to have an affordable higher education. I just wanted to point out another startling statistic. Right now, in the United States, we have student debt at $1.5 trillion. And that's an astronomical amount of money that students are burdened with. And so the community college typically is about, in Pennsylvania, about $5,000 to $6,000 annually for a full-time student. That's reasonable, and the Pell Grant for many students will cover the cost of their community college.
All right. Can you stay past 9 o'clock? I got more questions.
Okay.
You can, and you're okay, too? All right. Fantastic. Because we're going to run out of time before we run out of questions. What might a local community college look like? Sort of describe the building, I guess, or if it has to have one set building, sort of describe what this might look like in our area.
Okay. So because we're looking at a multi-county sponsorship, we're looking at an initial campus where there's a centralized administration and a distributed model then where each county should have some aspect of that college that really meets their, we'll say, their business and industry focus. It fulfills some strategic planning of that county. And so incrementally, the college would grow over a course of about 10 years to fulfill those kind of strategic needs. And taking a look at the Northern Pennsylvania Regional College, that's the nine counties across the northern tier, that college is exclusively interactive TV, so synchronous online education, and it's growing rapidly. That's a really good model for us also, in that some of the more rural adjacent counties would benefit from that kind of service and delivery. We're looking at something that really fits that kind of a hybrid model.
And do they have a campus? Would we still have a campus in Sunbury or Sunbury area?
If in Sunbury, what we would see is the population density and a geographic central location. All of the infrastructure already exists in Sunbury for police and fire. All of that exists here. What would ideally be is Sunbury be that centralized location for the administration, several of the kicking off on the legacy of Thomas Edison, some STEM programming, and then even Joseph Priestley, holding that in this area and building on that legacy. Then healthcare and allied health programs would fit well with Montour County. So that's kind of the distributed model concept.
Do you drive around and see buildings and say that could be us?
Sure, but it's premature because those decisions are made in a collaborative way. And so we have to work with the governments that exist in those areas and determine what would work best for them as well.
Do you look at existing vacant buildings like the Bittner Building in Sunbury or maybe one of the older factory buildings, or there's a blank space up by the river wall? Oops, I'm sorry, up by the river wall. I'm kicking John Shipman. Make sure he's awake over there. But you look at those kind of spaces?
The Albright Center, yes, Sunbury has a lot of potential for community revitalization, and a community college would certainly be a catalyst for that and a hub for that. Absolutely, we look at those, but again, those relationships have to be built, and the studies have to be done, et cetera, on those. But absolutely, yes, those are good buildings. The Bittner Building is still a great building in that it's right in the, it's an anchor building. It's right in the downtown area. Some years ago, about 4 years ago, had the opportunity to meet with the Secretary of Agriculture, and he made it clear that for community revitalization, there needs to be two things. One, you have to have social offerings that draw people in. And number two, you have to have affordable higher education. Those two pieces will, if they are working well together.
Albright Center and Community College on Cheston Street in Sunbury?
That's a possibility. Especially that with the model that Lanier has just put out, where we would have a central location, but that the college would be reaching out to the different counties to provide services in their area. So, for instance, you might have classes in Middleburg or Mifflinburg or Lewisburg or Milton, that way reach more saturated through the county, but a central location. There's a number. Bittner Building would be a great one. The old junior high school building would be a great. I mean, there's a number of buildings that would very adequately meet the need.
All right, Evan, maybe new construction. You just never know. We got some space available. We're not going to have time for calls now, but Lanier has agreed to stay past the top of the hour, so Malia and Lanier are going to be here, and we'll keep asking these kinds of questions. I'm still trying to, place sort of a glimpse of how this might look in the years ahead, so we are getting that. I know, the YMCA Art Center is down in that block, and the library's there, so maybe they could help out in some way. Zion Lutheran Church has classrooms that aren't used on weekdays in many places, mm-hmm. So maybe that could be part of the long-term solution. I like that middle school idea. That's That's unused classroom space, just plain and simple. We are talking to Dr. Lanier Allam, Executive Director of Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project, and her sister's here, Lieutenant Colonel Malia Pearson, U.S. Army Reserves, been in the National Guard, and is really part of the solution in a lot of ways when it comes to helping out our nation's armed forces. Mm-hmm. So we very much appreciate that. You shake your head throughout this whole thing. You'd like to see this college get developed around here, Malia?
Oh, absolutely. The community college, it was a really great opportunity for me. And I think when people don't really know what to do after high school, a lot of young people don't have a true career path. They think they know, but life is so big, and when you're coming out at 17, it's so hard to know. So I think that community college absolutely gives you that opportunity.
You don't know what that music is, do you?
I think it's a pause.
That's right. I mean, CBS News is on the way, so stand by. Great panel. John Shipman is here. Malia Pearson, you just heard from her. Born and initially raised in the Philadelphia area. Okay. Dr. Lanier Allam would have been too, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fantastic. All right. We're going to keep this conversation going. We'll open up the phone lines. We're talking about a community college. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
And welcome back to WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Rob Setter, a fabulous producer. I am Mark Lawrence, and we have some great guests here. My co-host is John Shipman, so we are talking about the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project. We'll dispense with headlines until 20 after. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is now open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. We're still talking about a local community college, but we'll take questions now. Toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236 today if you wish to. We're still trying to set the scene and find out what a local community college could look like or what it might mean to our area, what it has meant to. Lieutenant Colonel Malia Pearson is here, the U.S. Army Reserves, and working for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers at the moment. Would that be safe to say?
I will begin on the 1st of April.
Okay, so a good job opportunity for you there. And this is calling attention to the community college that taught her not only some education and helped her to get a degree, but also leadership training was part of that, and what maturation for a 17-year-old was part of that element, too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, trying to learn some of the key parts of life. All right, so we're going to get that story. Dr. Lanier Allam is here. Now, I'm calling you Dr. Lanier. Tell me, when we last interviewed you, you were just plain old hard-working and super studying Lanier Allam, but you've gotten your degrees. Just elaborate on that, because that's noteworthy.
So, because of this project and the need for my own understanding about how community colleges came into existence, how they were established, how they're funded, and how they deliver instruction, I completed a doctoral program at the University of Maryland, University College, specifically in community college policy and administration. My dissertation focused on primary research on the establishment of community colleges over the last decade. And so to better understand the challenges and the methods for overcoming those challenges, I really focused on how they did it and what we would need to do in order to achieve our goal.
But to achieve that goal, you need a private university, ideally a private university, to say, hey, that's our community college. Tell me about that. You need a partner.
We have to have a partner who is Middle States Commission for Higher Education accredited, and they have to, similar to what Gannon University has done for the Northern Pennsylvania Regional College, they have to shepherd the new community college into independence and into full accreditation by Middle States Commission for Higher Education.
All right. And are there any nibbles, any universities or colleges around here say, oh, we'd love to be part of this?
That remains to be seen. Certainly we have wonderful universities in this area that would be ideal partners. But we have to wait and see how that all will turn out, for sure. And there are others outside of our area that are on a short list also that we would want to partner with. So we just have to take it one step at a time. There's a lot of discussion that goes into this and preparation.
If you've asked counties to be part of this, what have they said? You're going to want $1 million a year or more from each county.
So right now, counties are interested at a much smaller level and are looking at more the $25,000 to $30,000 range. I think that's a great start. I think it shows that they see the importance of this. They need to see some output, and I think that's where we are with it right now.
All right, Malia, you're here to tell us that for you, community colleges were pivotal in building the blocks to this life that you've had, but your whole family can say that community college has been part of their lives.
Yes, sir. My husband has a 2-year degree from the community college out in California, and that was perfect for him as well because he was working full-time. He had to pay for his own education without taking out a student loan. And he could only go, of course, to evening school and take a couple courses at a time. So for him, it was absolutely perfect. And I have 3 children. My two sons attended the same actual community college in North Dakota. And my youngest son will be finishing up his second year this semester, and he will be going on to a 4-year, which actually partners with the community college in Bismarck, and finishing up his cybersecurity degree. So he'll have a 2-year in cybersecurity and then a 4-year in cybersecurity.
All right. I want to draw a line here. I'm not going to connect this to what you just said about your husband with my next question. It helps people grow up, too.
No, okay.
That's not why he went. Okay, I want to be clear about that.
Correct. My husband was very grown up already. I say I was on the meandering path to maturity and for me it was good because basically I was just dipping my toes into the pool, stepping in slowly, and yet still getting what I needed and learning how to I guess do things on my own as opposed to having, you know, parents help you with everything. So
all right. Well, and we appreciate the story that you've told. We have open phones. If you have a question about the community college, call us 1-800-795-9565. Robert, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
I have a couple of questions about this. Is Luzerne County Community College the college that you're trying to draw into this area?
Luzerne County Community College is going to offer some classes, I believe, in Watsontown. They are currently offering classes in Shamokin.
Uh-huh.
Luzerne County, of course, is northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So I think what I see them doing is trying to mitigate a need in our area, but the need is so great at, like I said, 2,000 high-priority occupations that are annually open, that only a regional comprehensive community college can meet that level of demand.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, Sunbury still has hope of getting as soon as I saw that they were going to the Watsontown Elementary School, I thought, well, that's the end of Sunbury's chances for a community college, but then that isn't correct?
This initiative, the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project, continues to see Sunbury as a critical piece in this because of its current revitalization. It has it has all of the necessary parts for the example I like to think of is Temple University. I don't know, Robert, if you've been in that area of Philadelphia, but Temple University was one building on Broad Street. And 15 blocks of Broad Street have been converted because of Temple University and that revitalized that region. Now, Sunbury is a much smaller scale. However, the concept is still similar in that the revitalization can occur when you have social offerings such as Sunbury does have, like the River Festival and many others. They have many social offerings. And when you add to that and couple it with affordable higher education, you really have what the makings of community and economic revitalization.
Well, I hope that you, whatever you can do to get such a thing into Sunbury, we need this desperately in Sunbury, more than any of the other towns around here. I mean, these other towns are doing fine on their own, but we need this for our downtown. I mean, and as you said, we have all these sites like the middle school sitting there rotting away, an elementary school on 4th Street. We have the Bittner Building. I mean, somebody has to have the initiative to try to get something here. But I'm so happy that at least our chances are not totally down the drain. But thank you so much, you know, for whatever you're doing.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
And thank you, Robert, for calling and for your encouragement.
I appreciate
okay, thank
that.
You.
Yep, thank you, sir. All right, speedy dialers now, 1-800-795-9565. How much is it going to cost me to go to a community college, and what are the, some of the courses that might be offered at, we'll call it the Sunbury Community Colleges for the lack of a name? It won't be called then.
So general education courses, math, English, social sciences, those very most common. And then what we're doing now in the community colleges is taking an interest inventory and then assigning a career navigator so that every student is on a guided pathway to a credential. And that way, the employers on their end can see coming through the pipeline, I have someone in a guided pathway for my opening. And the student on their end can see I'm going to have a job at the end of this. So that's the concept behind the guided pathway, and that's very, at this point, it's emerging in all of the community colleges just about across the country.
All right, let's get some closing remarks about this. So we'll start with Malia. Just an additional thought to maybe something we didn't cover or important words related to our local discussion or your experiences. We kind of covered a lot of ground with you. An additional comment, anything to add?
I think that it's absolutely one of the most important things that this area can do. It will produce matured workforce. It'll produce folks with some training, and I'm actually in awe of what my sister has done. She's an amazing woman.
Well, there's no argument there. You certainly won't find any at this table. An additional comment, please.
And I'm in awe of my own sister here, who made her way to Lieutenant Colonel. And she pointed out to me that in Pennsylvania, there are 859 job openings.
Government jobs.
Government job openings. And many of those would be people who would be trained at the community colleges. So, you know, I just appreciate this opportunity, Mark. Thank you so much.
Oh, you have an open mic anytime. Come back. And, of course, we got our sunrise set aside for you anytime. Just check back in from time to time so that we get a good update, whether we need it or not. Come on the show and tell us what's happening. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Lanier Allam, Executive Director, Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project. The website, the svcep.org, comes to my head, but that's probably not right.
It's newcommunitycollege.org.
Oh,
yep,
so much easier. So, newcommunitycollege.org. I appreciate that. And Malia Pearson, thank you so much for your service. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much, Mark.
I do appreciate it. Pleasure to meet you and to chat with you again, Lanier. You stay put, buddy.
Okay.
John Shipman's going to stick around. We're coming back with some news headlines and open phones.
Hometown pharmacies, every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out more at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can still go down there on Sunday and kick the tires, but don't kick the tires on my Ford Ranger that's out there in the corner of the lot. It's well, that's not mine yet, but one of them will be soon. You say my Raptor's next year, though, right?
Next year.
Okay. Well, I can wait a little bit, I guess. My lovely bride's just rolling her eyes. Whatever.
Anyway, sure she is.
Check out the online specials they have for all of the vehicles, and they got pre-owned vehicles online. You can check them out. And if you can find something that you want on either Kia dealership lot on 11 and 15 or in Sunbury, you can build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln at sunburymotors.com. So please patronize our fabulous sponsor, the Sunbury Motor Company. Brief news headlines. Don't worry about losing your job at the Lewisburg Federal Penitentiary. While some job adjustments can take place through attrition, as has happened in the past few years or so, the U.S. Bureau of Prisons says that they're going to keep the jobs stable. That announcement comes through U.S. Senators Pat Toomey and Bob Casey, who sent a letter to the Department of Prisons urging them to preserve jobs as Lewisburg as they go from maximum to medium security. And the Bureau of Prisons responded saying they'll try to keep employment the same in the years ahead. A bill introduced by the State House would protect unborn children diagnosed with Down syndrome from abortion. Our correspondent Mark Sims has that story.
Representative Kathy Rapp is among those supporting House Bill 321, also known as the Down Syndrome Protection Act.
House Bill 321 is about protecting those with Down syndrome, as we protect children from being part of that abortion statistic just on the basis of sex selection.
Noting that people with Down syndrome have contributed much to society, Rapp and other supporters of the legislation say there's no justifiable reason for aborting an unborn child diagnosed with Down syndrome. Supporters of the bill say it would not interfere with the ability of a woman to get an abortion because of rape, incest, or endangerment to the mother. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Pennsylvania's elected fiscal watchdog is urging state lawmakers to rescue the State Turnpike Commission. You can tell that John Shipman doesn't do their books. They are now almost $12 billion in debt. You did hear that right. That's 12 with a B. Unbelievable. Is that even legal?
I evidently it is, but it just shows how that government isn't effective and isn't efficient, and the big problem is that they have to pay revenue to the state of Pennsylvania. My understanding is they do their own repair work. They do their own, but they have a lease on the turnpike. And heaven help us if they just turn it over to the state government, because then we'll need 20 more billion in taxes.
Right. That's the last thing you want to do is take it over. But anyway, okay. So yeah, $11.8 billion, and of course, as you would imagine, Auditor General Eugene T. Pasquale, he doesn't even have words to describe it. He said says that debt is part of that debt is exacerbated each year by the $450 million that the Turnpike Commission has to pay to the state, as we just mentioned. That's under a 2007 state law that is designed to pump more money into Pennsylvania's highways. But the Turnpike Commission's debt, he says, is limiting improvements on the 552 miles of highway. There are toll raises planned each year, but certainly on paper, the most fiscally irresponsible government entity in the world would have to be the state. If this were the national debt, our debt would be about $400 trillion in the U.S., I mean, proportionally speaking.
Incredible.
This is crazy. All right, finally, the University of Mississippi's leader says he agrees that a Confederate soldier monument should be moved from its current spot on campus. Interim Chancellor Larry Sparks has issued a statement saying he's discussing relocation and historic preservation details. Student, faculty, and staff group passed resolutions earlier this month asking Sparks to move the monument to a secluded Confederate cemetery on the University of Mississippi's campus. Mm-hmm. So to be continued there. We'll find out more about that. All right. Earlier this week, we talked about the Electoral College. I think Beto O'Rourke was in State College, and he supports looking at the Electoral College and maybe abolishing it. Some of the other presidential candidates, Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris, talk about the Electoral College as something that they do not wish to have in existence. So we had a discussion, and we have some emails. One of them sends us a clipping that he put in the newspaper earlier. This is Art, says, I don't understand all this bickering over Electoral College vote versus popular vote. Evidently, many people don't remember what they learn in civics class. Obviously, the notion that all 50 states should have a voice in the vote is outdated. Places like Idaho, Kansas, Alabama, and the central Susquehanna Valley are so rural in nature that the people living there simply do not understand the complexities of life in the 21st century and the real needs for America today. Congress should change the law so that moving forward, the vote for president will be determined by people residing in major metropolitan areas only, like New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle. With all that population density containing so much worldly knowledge, they are really the only people to know what's best for us. Thank you for the sarcasm, Art. Always appreciated. Art's got a good common sense view on things, too. I'm glad to say he comes in here from time to time. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We have more texts related to the Electoral College, but this is an Open Phones Friday. John Shipman is here, and Cindy's on the line. Cindy, thanks for calling in. We're enjoying Open Phones. What are you thinking about today?
Well, I wanted first, good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to comment about the vote to close the state pension loophole. Now, if anybody is foolish enough to think that the majority of these people are representing our interests, then consider this. They wrote a law that allowed a corrupt state official, Senator Mello. He was indeed tried, or at least he admitted that he had done this corruption. It was related to his office. So we threw him out of office, and they forfeited his pension, except he got it back. And his pension is $245,000 a year, my friends.
What?
Our state, $245,000 a year. And if that doesn't irritate you enough, he doesn't pay a penny of state income tax or local income tax that supports things like the bankrupt Scranton School District. Not a penny. All because these are the laws that our legislators have put into place. Well, he also gets lifetime health insurance at our expense. We're paying for it for him.
Cindy,
and this is the corruption we have in our state government. Now, they've just passed a law, and only one person voted against it, and I'm not at all surprised, a Democrat from the Philadelphia region voted against it, and this law closes this loophole which allowed this corrupt official to keep his Uber pension at our expense for the rest of his life.
Cindy, I appreciate your call, and I can't agree more. Both in Harrisburg and in Washington, D.C., the swamp looks out for itself. So if you're, it doesn't make any difference which party, Democrat or Republican.
Right.
Congress in Washington exempts themselves from every law that they pass. They have a little rider that says, oh, by the way, we're not subject to this law. The people, all the rest of you people are subject to this law, but we're not.
All the rest of you dogs, I think, is the exact wording.
All you working people who don't count except when we want you to vote for us.
Exactly. So that's when we matter, just that very little moment.
Exactly.
You know?
And so
it's obscene.
It is obscene, and if one of the only way we're going to get that solved is term limits, because you know if somebody was limited to 10 or 12 years and then go home, when you have somebody that's been there 30, 35, 40 years, the chances that they have been corrupted are probably 50 times more than a freshman person who's only been there a couple years. And the longer they're there, the more they're beholden to the special interests and term limits. There's no other solution. Term limits and no pensions, either at the state level for representatives, either at the state level or the federal level. You work, you get your health care while you're there. When you leave, you lose your health care. Go find another job. And no lifetime pension.
I agree. I agree completely. Unfortunately, neither of us are there to vote this. And when you see the votes come up, typically, although not in this case, typically they defend this corrupt system that pads their pockets. USA Today did a scathing report a few years ago about Pennsylvania's pension system. We have one of the most generous pension systems to legislators in the country. What a surprise, you know. Oh. But I just want to say hats off to Schlegel Culver, to Fred Keller, to Everett, to all those local Mosser, right,
Mosser.
And Gordner, who all voted this new thing that says if they're convicted, I love this, convicted of or admit to a crime with a punishment of 5 years in prison, they automatically lose their pension right then and there. So they can be corrupt up to 5 years of prison and retain their pension.
Oh, my gosh. What a little caveat. That's terrible.
I don't follow this.
It's called the vortex for a reason. It sucks the brains out of people in Harrisburg.
Well, I'm sure they consider this a brilliant compromise. At least they stopped, you know, now that Senator Mello is going to live large on our tax dollars for the rest of his life. I mean, $245,000. Who thinks that we should be paying, and we pay thousands of state officials that kind of pension, six-figure pensions. Yes, we do, between the state, the school districts, and the elected officials and the appointed officials in Harrisburg. We are paying for thousands of these kind of pensions. And because of our laws, we also exempt all of those people with their six-figure pensions from paying income tax. And I think that's obscene. They are exploiting the people they claim to have represented the interests of, and that's terrible.
All right, we got you, Cindy. Well, now that you got us fired up, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Cindy.
Well, our terrible government, I mean, this is what happens. And we have one independent lawmaker, and he wants to leave us and go to Washington, D.C. and abandon us. So, I don't know. It's sad. It's too bad. But, yeah, the brain removal system is hard at work in Washington and in Harrisburg, making sure that our legislators, they take the brains out and they put in the special interest sponge, and that's all you ever hear or see from them again. And our local legislators, while they voted for this measure, they are hardly immune to ignoring common sense government and taking good care of us working class dogs.
I do have to say that our local reps are pretty good at trying to rein things in. I would say that the 5-year limit was probably something that it was either that or not get a bill. You would be amazed how many people in government run afoul of the law and end up with 18 months, and stuff like that. And so it's more common than we really think.
All right. Well, we've had some good local representatives off to jail too. Who's the Feast up in Muncie Township? Bob Robert Feast, John Feast. Why am I drawing a blank? Anyway, he's out of jail now. Yeah. So, but he's a good state representative and replaced by a good one. That was an upgrade up there. So that kind of worked out for everybody's benefit. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Taking another quick break. All the rest of our emails and callers say they want to talk about the Electoral College. I think it is more than high time to eliminate the Electoral College. One man, one vote. No fancy formulas. People in Los Angeles County get one man, one vote also. There happen to be more of them, but that's all right. So, and all of you can call me and start it up again telling me that I'm wrong. 1-800-79... Are you going to tell me I'm wrong?
You bet.
Oh, dear. Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565. When it comes to the Electoral College, one of our listeners says the purpose of the popular vote and the Electoral College is the same reason we have the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. The Electoral College and Senate gives equality to all states, regardless of their population. Thank God for the uncanny foresight of the Founding Fathers. We would not have a U.S.
We would not have a United States of America if it weren't for a bicameral legislature and the electoral
meaning the House and the Senate, right?
House and Senate.
Okay.
When they were sitting down in Philadelphia talking, you had three large states, New York, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. You had 10 small states, rural mostly, or small in size. And one of the great debates was how are we going to balance the power between the large and the small? Keep in mind that you needed all those states to ratify that constitution. And the struggle was the small states were saying, we're not going to give you guys carte blanche. We have a right, because we are a state, we have a right to have a say, and our say has to be heard. Keep in mind, under the Articles of Confederation, which we dealt with for about 8 or 9 years, which didn't work, all the power was in the states, and the federal government had virtually no power. And they realized that didn't work. So we needed a government that we could grant powers to, but every power that is granted to the federal government is granted by the states and by the Constitution. So we had states that said, listen, if you want this to work, you can't write us out. I did some interesting statistics.
Well, I saw your map.
Hillary,
it says basically Los Angeles County runs the U.S.
Hillary Clinton had 65,844,610 votes in the presidential election. Donald Trump had 62,979,636. So others had 5%. So Mrs. Clinton beat Donald Trump by 2,864,974 votes.
Okay.
In Los Angeles County, Mrs. Clinton got 2,464,364 votes. Trump got 769,743 votes. She won that county by 1,694,621 votes. In the city of New York, Mrs. Clinton got 2,090,442 votes. Donald Trump got 393,112 votes. So she carried New York City by 1,697,330 votes. In those two cities, she won by 3,391,951 votes, which is more than her margin of victory in the whole country.
Wait. So if you take that margin of victory that she had in those two municipalities, we're talking like borough, city, township, so these are cities. So those cities, her margin of victory there was
3.4 million.
Okay.
But her total was 2.8 million.
Okay.
So her margin of victory was greater in those two cities than it was in the whole country. So it doesn't, you know, so if we want one party rule, and the only
we have more Democrats in the US, correct?
Slightly more.
Okay. Well, why shouldn't we have one-party rule? Then we have more Democrats.
Have you ever lived in a country? You look at the cities.
I'm living it right now.
look at the cities in the United States that have had one-party rule for 50, 60, 70 years. Every one of them is in a fiscal crisis. Most of them have all kinds of scandals going on.
And
because
we're not.
there's no accountability. If you know that your best friend Jim is coming into office after you, you know Jim's not going to go after you, even if you did some stuff that wasn't just all above board. We talked about corruption a little bit. Corruption is worse where you have one-party rule. And keep in mind, one-party rule is what you have in places like Venezuela and China and so forth, where there's no liberty at all.
So as pathetic as Washington is, it would be far, far, far worse if it was all Democrats all the time, because this gives Republicans an unfair advantage, I think.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but we have the opportunity in the House of Representatives. One person, one vote counts. Okay? That's your national election. But in the Senate, each state, keep in mind that up until the early 1900s, the state legislatures appointed the senators. Our senators weren't even elected by popular vote until the early 1900s.
Bobby, thanks for waiting. You are on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone. You know, I called in yesterday about the Electoral College. Now, Mark, I have a question, okay? In other words, you are you for totally abolishing the Electoral College?
No, somebody had a compromise this week. I forget how the wording of it went, but it could be adapted to be fairer, to make it closer to one person, one vote.
Well, that's what basically I was trying, you know, the point I was trying to make the other day. In other words, here we are in central Pennsylvania, you know, there's a federal, legislative districts, of course for state government is one thing, but for federal is different. So maybe have those legislative districts throughout the United States, not just here, have a duty of that particular federal representative's office to be an electoral college member to go and vote the president in when all the tallies are done. I mean, there's got to be a different way of doing it, and you know, having maybe more electoral votes or whatever, like a percentage.
All right. Yep. That might work. Good idea. Thank you,
Bobby. Thank you.
Yep. Appreciate that. We'll have to ask the Democratic candidates for president. Some of them want to get rid of the Electoral College. I'm not sure what their other ideas are. All right. You have something to say?
Well, obviously, based on the last election, and keep in mind, this is all raised because of a couple of presidential elections, but this isn't the first time it's been raised. This has been raised back in the 1800s and so forth. So, but what we need to understand is everybody deserves to be heard, and right now this is the best way to let everybody be heard. Otherwise, Pennsylvania wouldn't even count.
It's a good thing.
Why should we even go to the polls?
It's a good thing I'm not in charge around here. But if we didn't have the Electoral College, I'd be even less in charge, right?
You would.
Okay. Texts. If the Electoral College were abolished, the small states would lose all power when it comes to presidential elections. The middle of the country would be ignored, and the cities on the coast would see all the pandering candidates trying to get their votes to win. A small area's population would exert control over the vast area and smaller population in the middle portion of the country. Doesn't seem fair to me. And then yesterday, Chris was on the news line, and the same individual texted and said, why would Chris want the rural areas of the country ruled by the failed policies of the big city politicians? All right, so Chris, we'll ask you that question. Why
why would you want to not count votes because people have votes count for less because people live in smaller areas?
Why does their vote count for less? Well, yeah, yes. Everybody gets one vote, I guess. So
they would. And then the idea of doing it federal district is then it's subject to the gerrymandering of the states. If popular vote is so bad that it'll result in cities lording over bad policies for the rural areas, then how come we elect our governor by popular vote, and it doesn't happen in each and every state?
Or senator, or Congress, or mayor, or...
Or maybe we should do it by counties, because after all, Republicans win all the counties, so that would be a good way to do it, too. Oh, right.
That's a good suggestion.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Every county got
because
one vote.
you don't want to count Democratic votes, which is your Republican problem all the time.
I'm just kidding. I think it works the way it is.
Okay. I want to interrupt you because I want to say one thing that's incredibly bad about the Electoral College, although it hasn't happened yet, but it has potential to, is what happens if neither person gets a majority. And
neither
then it gets thrown into the House of Representatives, which is doing the federal districts with gerrymandering and all.
Neither candidate.
That is really bad.
Okay. Neither candidate got a majority
in
the last election.
And my party controlled.
Go ahead.
Neither candidate got a majority. Mrs. Clinton had 48.2%. Donald Trump had 46.1%, and the handful of other candidates got a combined of 5.7%. So neither one won the popular vote. Clinton had more popular vote than Donald Trump, but she did not have a majority.
No, okay. I was talking about the electoral vote.
Okay.
Do you hear me?
Yep, we hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what happens when the electoral vote doesn't have a majority because there's a third-party candidate that manages to win a state or a few?
Well, we almost
then
had that.
Then you throw it into the House of Representatives, and I think it would be the old House of Representatives, but it might be the new one. I can't remember how the law works. It would have to be the new one, the old one, I guess. It would be electing our president. People who are being voted out of office,
right,
who are retiring, and everything.
The sitting
that
house.
Would be a really bad situation, and right now my party controls the House, but I still think it would be a bad situation. And we've talked about in the history of the country, Birch Bayh introduced amendments that got a lot of support to get rid of the electoral colleges back in the 60s and even the 50s, I think. I forget when he started. Maybe it was only the 60s. And he did it every year. It's been something that's been talked about for decades, no matter whose party was controlling what. It's not like it's, this is a brand new idea. It has a little bit more urgency because two out of the last, three or four elections, our president had gotten in by a minority vote, and so it's happening often, relatively recently.
All right.
So that's one reason.
All right, we got you, Chris. Thank you so much for checking in. I really appreciate you.
By the way,
hurry
up. If we can decide not to count the votes of all the people who are cattlemen or something, and then look at that. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Oh, let's throw out the votes of certain people then see what it means. That's just like nonsense. Okay, let's not count Texas City. I mean, what kind of nonsense?
We're not going to count Gregg Township, Union County anymore. It's not working out. All right, thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the call. He was on the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, and we invite you to use that in our closing moments. We'll have time for probably one more call. Make it you. Make it immediate. 1-800-795-9565. And thanks Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy for sponsoring our Hometown Pharmacies. And the Hometown Pharmacy toll-free line they sponsor. The Lewisburg Pharmacies on 2nd Street in Lewisburg, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street in Bloomsburg, Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street, Route 147 in Northumberland, where traffic is wide open. It's easier to get there this year than last year. Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg, and Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Every dollar you spend at a local Hometown Pharmacy gets spent locally 10 times over. If there's one thing that John knows for sure, helping and being part of the solution in your hometown can make a big difference, whether it's supporting the Albright Center, which incidentally, individuals at the Hometown Pharmacy support charitable nonprofit organizations, fire companies, churches, Albright Centers in their towns, and they would just love for you to help support the town too by going to Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, or Lewisburg Pharmacy.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, one of our listeners says, Hillary Clinton had 3 million more votes than the president did. Accept it. Although more people wanted Clinton, we're stuck with Trump. All in all, less than a third of total of the amount of folks who actually could vote, many of them didn't, and shame on them, voted for your guy. Less than a third of the country wanted him, says Margaret. So what do you say about that?
I'd like to respond. I agree. She absolutely had 3 million more. 2.864 million more votes. And I absolutely agree that too many people stayed home. I think that there was, let's face it, we had two really bad candidates. We had a candidate that was the swamp personified, who used her position to enrich her own foundation. All that's coming out now. Okay, in testimony, she misused a private email server. That's all coming out.
Okay, not an ideal candidate.
He was not either. I didn't vote for Mr. Trump in the primary. I voted for Ben Carson for two reasons. Number one, he was a man of integrity.
Well, and he's a genius.
Right. Number two, he was an outsider. Okay? I'm tired of insiders. Insiders perpetuate the same old baloney that goes on in Washington, whether it's Paul Ryan or Nancy Pelosi. It don't make any difference, okay? They both perpetuate the same anti-people agenda, okay?
Don't really do anything.
So agenda. Mr. Trump was not my preference, but I had a choice between two bad candidates. I don't like his demeanor. I don't like his past. He's a rich playboy and so forth. But he was an outsider, and I voted for Mr. Trump in the general election because he was an outsider, and that's the reason. So he's not my guy. I'm not thrilled with him, but after all, he is the president.
All right. Newsroom says a school bus crash in Middleburg earlier today had a bunch of students on the board. Some of the students, two students going from Midwest to the hospital to get checked out. Minor injuries there, but we're following that story in the newsroom. So we want to know you that, want you to know that that story is posted at WDKOK.com. The full story is posted there. One of our listeners says the only reason the left thinks of abolishing the Electoral College is urgent is because they lost to President Trump. Why is the left so against the Constitution? It's because they can't handle losing. You can't handle the truth. So they want to change the rules of the game. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. It's always a pleasure.
We plan and hope to see you in 1 week, right?
Sounds good.
You're coming back on
on
the last Friday of the month. Thank you so much. John Shipman, Super Sunbury Man, a vice chair of the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project, in addition to his many other accolades. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.